On Tuesday, voters will decide whether Hillary Clinton will become America's first female president. NPR's Tamara Keith has been covering her campaign for nearly 2 years, and she has this look at how Clinton got to this point.
There are many places you could start the story of Hillary Clinton's run for the presidency, her election to the Senate, her unsuccessful campaign in 2008, and how she recovered from it, her announcement video and surprise road trip. But September 14th, 2014, seems as good a day as any.
Well, hello, Iowa. I'm back.
Clinton was at an annual Democratic event in Iowa, playing coy about her political plans. But behind the scenes, she was consulting with advisors and beginning to plot out what a 2016 Clinton campaign would look like. Before Clinton ever got around to announcing her intentions, her campaign was hit with a bombshell. Clinton had used a private email server for official business while Secretary of State.
All set? Good afternoon.
Clinton was a month away from announcing her candidacy, facing down a scandal and a mob of reporters with questions.
Looking back, it would have been better if I'd simply used a second email account and carried a second phone, but at the time, this didn't seem like an issue.
Oh, it was an issue, all right, with help along the way from Republicans in Congress, conservative activist lawyers, and even the FBI. The email issue lingered over Clinton, occasionally raining down bad headlines at inconvenient moments. In April, the will she or won't she question simply became, when will she? And then her campaign released a video featuring a diverse group of Americans talking about what they were looking forward to doing in the year ahead. It ended with Clinton.
I'm getting ready to do something, too. I'm running for president.
A couple of days later, Clinton reappeared in Iowa, having ridden from New York in a Secret Service van known as Scooby.
I think it's fair to say that as you look across the country, the deck is still stacked in favor of those already at the top. And there's something wrong with that.
At that moment, it would have been hard for anyone to predict how this campaign has turned out. In the primary, Clinton's biggest challenge came from the left. Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren never got into the race, but Bernie Sanders did, with a message focused on income inequality and campaign finance reform. He had the aura of a crumpled professor, but was received by young people and white liberals as a rock star.
Whoa, got a lot of people here tonight.
On the strength of social media, the Sanders movement grew, filling larger and larger venues.
You know, sometimes our campaign has been referred to as a fringe campaign. Well, if this is fringe, I would hate to see mainstream. Thank you all very much.
Meanwhile, Clinton continued to hold small events, roundtable discussions, and town hall-style gatherings. Many wondered whether her candidacy was generating enthusiasm. October 2015 was quite possibly the best month of the campaign for Clinton because of three things. The first Democratic debate.
And that is that the American people are sick and tired of hearing about your damn emails.
Thank you. Me too.
The 11-hour Benghazi hearing that put her stamina on display.
I've lost more sleep than all of you put together. I have been racking my brain about what more could have been done or should have been done.
And Vice President Joe Biden's decision not to run.
I believe we're out of time, the time necessary to mount a winning campaign for the nomination.
For a time at least, Clinton's path to the nomination seemed more certain. But it didn't last. Sanders continued to gain on her, and come February 1st, the Iowa caucuses could have gone either way. It was so close, in fact, when Clinton came out to give her victory speech, it wasn't clear whether she had actually won.
So as I stand here tonight, breathing a big sigh of relief, thank you, Iowa!
9 days later, the outcome wasn't even remotely in question. Sanders won New Hampshire by more than 20%, raising gobs of money, enough to fuel a lengthy primary battle. But Clinton and her campaign stuck with the plan, which included contingencies for fighting all the way to the convention. On June 7th, Clinton was finally able to declare victory, and she did it in a big greenhouse that, of course, had a glass ceiling.
My mother believed that life is about serving others,
And she taught me never to back down from a bully, which it turns out was pretty good advice.
There was no doubt Clinton was referring to Donald Trump. And while she had been worrying about Bernie Sanders, Trump had demolished a historically large Republican field. Hillary Clinton had won the opponent lottery. Though as much as the unpredictable, inflammatory Trump was a gift to Clinton, it was also a risk. 2016 had all the markings of a change election, and no one represents change more than outsider Donald Trump. Clinton had already made a strategic choice that made some of her top aides nervous. She wouldn't run against Trump like any other Republican. She would build a case that he was unfit to be president of the United States. And she got a big assist from a man named Keyser Khan, and Trump himself. On the final night of the Democratic convention, Khan told the story of his son, a soldier killed in combat in Iraq while protecting the others in his unit. The Khan family is Muslim and expressed dismay at the way Trump talked about Muslims.
Donald Trump, you're asking Americans to trust you with their future. Let me ask you, have you even read the United States Constitution?
He pulled a pocket constitution out of his suit jacket and changed the course of the presidential race. Within days, Trump was criticizing the Khan family and in turn being roundly criticized by Democrats and Republicans alike. And this set up a pattern that would repeat itself throughout the campaign. At the first presidential debate, Clinton laid the groundwork for a week-long chain reaction that would damage Trump's campaign by saying Trump had demeaned a former Miss Universe, calling her Miss Piggy and Miss Housekeeping.
Donald, she has a name.
Where did you find
her? Her name is Alicia Machado.
Where did you find her?
And she has become a U.S. citizen, and you can bet she's going to vote this November.
Okay, good.
Before long, there was something that rocked the race that Clinton had nothing to do with. A tape of Trump talking about kissing and groping women. And Clinton might have been on the glide path to the presidency, if only the attention could have stayed on Trump. But it didn't. There was her bout with pneumonia and collapse outside of the 9/11 memorial that not only raised questions about her health, but about her honesty. There was the WikiLeaks release of her campaign chairman's personal email. And finally, with just 10 days to go before the election, the FBI investigation into Clinton's private email server emerged one more time. Clinton had been running positive ads and delivering speeches about bringing Americans together if she was elected. But in the last week, she returned to a theme she had hit many times before. Only now, the contrast she was drawing with Trump was even more stark.
If Donald Trump were to win this election, we would have a commander-in-chief who is completely out of his depth, and whose ideas are incredibly dangerous. Someone who wants more countries to have nuclear weapons, and who could easily insult a foreign leader, or maybe, heaven forbid, start a real war instead of just a Twitter war.
If Hillary Clinton convinces enough Americans Donald Trump is simply unacceptable for the presidency, she would be the first female president. And she would also face incredible challenges, including repairing her own reputation, battered by 2 years of campaigning, and the email scandal that may never fully go away. Tamara Keith, NPR News.